Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
John Cook here with you on the programme today. Now, it's being touted as the biggest prisoner swap between Moscow and the West since the Cold War. Earlier this morning, US journalist Evan Gershkovich was welcomed home by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris after nearly 500 days in captivity in Russia. He was one of 24 detainees released yesterday, which also included FSB killer Vadim Krasikov, who was jailed for shooting a man in broad daylight in a park in Berlin in 2019. Here to discuss this is Dr. Donega O'Bakon, Professor of Politics at the School of Law and Government in DCU. Donega, thanks for joining me on the programme this morning. It's being billed as a diplomatic win for Joe Biden in the news this morning, but both sides got what they wanted here, did they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's an exchange. There's a price to be paid for this. And indeed, in many Western capitals, they see it as somewhat an unfair exchange because the Russians who have been committed back at the Kremlin's bidding are, you know, convicted criminals. They are agents. And as you say, one of them, and indeed, is a contract killer who was convicted in Germany in 2019. Whereas those that are being released from Russia, half of whom, by the way, are Russians themselves, are a motley crew of journalists and civil society activists. Some are in prison for things like posting on YouTube or Facebook and whatnot. So these are not exactly equivalent, and that might explain the disproportionate exchange. The West collectively is getting twice as many prisoners, and that is a suggestion that one of the reasons behind this exchange is that the Russians really wanted, or certainly Vladimir Putin really wanted, the release of the man that you mentioned, Vadim Krasikov, who he is allegedly quite close to, and indeed was at the airport to meet him personally with red carpet and gave him a huge hug on arrival.
And does it illustrate Putin's tactics so of using Western prisoners in Russia as bargaining chips to get back those who are doing his dirty work overseas, Donega?
Well, this is the fear, and it was raised a lot yesterday, that it creates kind of a perverse incentive structure for the Kremlin, that if there is a spy or an agent that they want to get back, you just simply round up the usual suspects of journalists and civil society activists, and you use them as the bargaining chips to get the exchange you want. And many suggest that's what happened yesterday when you look at, you know, the Wall Street Journalist, and other, as I said, Russian political prisoners, that they weren't exactly, as I said, the same type of prisoners. And Biden was asked that directly. He was much, you might say, more at ease in taking questions yesterday because this was a good news story as presented in the States. And he was asked about that. And he said, well, look, the best way of not getting into that situation is not traveling to Russia. But that's more easily said than done. And of course, there are many Western journalists still in Russia who might be targeted next.
An Irish citizen, Paul Whelan, among them, the government here welcoming his release too.
Yes, that's true. I mean, he's a dual citizen. Indeed, he has three citizenships. So it's the U.S. Irish and Canadian. So he was serving a 16-year sentence. He's a former Marine. And indeed, yeah, Taoiseach Simon Harris thanked not only the US, but also Ireland's diplomatic team in Russia and the consular team in Dublin for their years of work on this case.
I heard Kamala Harris earlier speaking about the importance of diplomacy and this being proof of it. Do we know what kind of work and for how long this was all going on, these negotiations, Donega?
Well, of course, a lot has not been revealed. And indeed, Donald Trump has tried to make some political capital about that, saying it was a very bad exchange and humiliation for the United States. We know that it's been ongoing for at least a year and indeed was expected somewhat earlier. Alexei Navalny, who you know was killed, of course, in February within the Russian prison system, was expected to be part of a package as well. And indeed, that's one of the reasons I think that so many political prisoners were released as part of this exchange, because, many fear that they awaited the same fate as Alexei Navalny. And indeed, three of the political prisoners are his close associates. So it took at least a year. The big question, I guess, is why did it take place now? Many suspected, and indeed Donald Trump hinted, that he could get this kind of a deal very quickly on becoming president. So the fact that it's happened now is certainly a boost for Joe Biden and indeed Kamala Harris. And I think it was of some significance that Kamala Harris was the first person to greet the prisoners as they came off the the plane in the United States, the three Americans.
When you mentioned that many of the prisoners are Russians themselves, why would the West have an interest in having them freed?
Well, that's a good question. And, you know, I mean, the presentation on behalf of Joe Biden is that they simply want to reunite families. They have an interest in supporting those who support democracy in Russia, that there is another Russia and there are other Russians who are supporting civil rights in their country. Those more cynically inclined might suggest that, of course, those freed political prisoners are now at liberty to promote their case, which is an anti-Kremlin case, abroad. But I think that, you know, the killing of Alexei Navalny in February, it really was a wake-up call to many in the West that something needed to be done. And I guess we really should emphasize that the key players here, because there tends to be a lot of focus on Joe Biden and the US, the key players here are really the Germans, because, as I said, it was clear that the prisoner that the Russians really wanted, the Kremlin really wanted, was Krasikov, the contract killer. And he was in a German prison, not in a US prison. So if the Americans wanted to get people out, it was the Germans, essentially, who had the prisoner that was needed for the exchange.
And Krasikov, as you mentioned, carried out a killing in the middle of the day in Germany. So this is a big issue of soul searching for Germany, was it? Or why would they end up releasing this man?
There was a lot of soul searching. You know, this was a killing in broad daylight, as you say. And Fiona Hill, who worked in the Trump administration, is an expert on post-Soviet politics. She said that this is not something that would have been achieved under a Trump administration, that essentially Biden was calling in favors. But it's all, Germany did get something out of this. I mean, five political prisoners that were released were German. And that's a disproportionate amount, one of whom was initially under sentence of death in Belarus. So they did get Germans as well out in exchange for this. But there is a certain, you know, feeling that this is, again, a moral compromise, because, again, the type of prisoners that are being released by Russia are not exactly the equivalent of the others in the exchange.
And you mentioned, and I'm sure there'll be a lot more of it today, a lot of commentary over whether this is the win for Biden and Harris or what would have happened or what might happen, what Trump is saying about it. But what does this prisoner swap, Dunica, say about relations between the West and Russia in the context of the ongoing Ukraine war?
It doesn't say an awful lot. I mean, there's been a lot of kind of speculation that this is, you know, symptomatic of some kind of diplomatic breakthrough that might have a bigger implication in terms of the war in Ukraine. I think it more harks back to the dark days of the Cold War, when these prisoner exchanges were quite regular. And therefore, I wouldn't see it as something major in that respect. I think what it does suggest is that if there are to be that there are channels of communication open, firstly, between Russia and the US, they continue to exist. And also the key role that Turkey plays, again, shouldn't be underestimated. You know, these prisoners were brought to Turkey first and exchanged in Turkey and then went on to their respective destinations, so that, you know, Turkey has a track record in being a facilitator in talks on the future of the conflict in Ukraine, and that may be the case going forward.
Professor Dunica O'Bakon from the School of Politics and Law and Government at DCU, thanks very much.